If you were living in the Midwest region of the U.S. in the late 19th century, you were likely living in a rural community. In fact, if you were west of the Mississippi River, you were likely living in a town with a population of only 25 people. Clothing, home goods, and other staples were sold by a local general store. Options were limited, and the experience was very personal. It's not that far from what we've seen in movies, in fact. That is, until companies like Montgomery Ward introduced a new sales strategy. In 1872, a one-page price list with 163 items began arriving at farmers' cooperatives in the Midwest. Prices were low and the variety of options were appealing, as was the money-back guarantee. Despite early successes, there was still an issue with building trust with customers when purchasing from businesses in which they have never visited or potentially ever heard of. The strategy that solved this and ultimately solidified the use of catalogs for over 100 years was actually personalization. Montgomery Ward saw an opportunity to not just sell, but build relationships through the mail. In a response to order requests, Montgomery Ward employees provided handwritten notes, often with words of congratulation for recent marriages or new children. Reading through these notes, one senses a level of familiarity you would get with a pen pal. In one example, a farmer even wrote, "Well, the cow kicked my arm and broke it, and besides, my wife was sick, and there was still the doctor bill, but now, thank God, that is paid, and we're all well again, and we have a fine baby boy, and please send plush bonnet number 29D8077. So customer engagement in this example is both transactional and it's also personal. It wasn't enough to have a good idea like a catalog. The bar for service excellence was set very high, and customers responded in kind. What we are talking about here is the point of connection. That level of personalization, though, seems almost absent today, but it doesn't have to be. In fact, we're in the middle of another revolution right now, and we're not talking about two-day delivery or predictive advertising. We're talking about the call center. Over the next few minutes, you'll discover how and why that evolution is happening and what that means for your business.
This is Connection, a podcast that brings you stories and expert opinions from the front lines of the workplace, enabling listeners to reimagine the worlds of employee and customer engagement.
There was a funny meme that started popping up in social media around 2012. Know Your Meme, which is the single source of truth for the never-ending stream of new and generally humorous trends that spread online, they called it the "what people think I do versus what I really do" meme. They define it as a series of visual charts that depict a range of preconceptions associated with a particular field of occupation or expertise. In other words, a series of images that showed what a person's friend might think they do, what, for example, their mom thinks they do, and what they actually do. If you aren't familiar, you should pause this podcast right now and check it out. You'll undoubtedly find one related to your field that will pretty much sum it up. If I were to create one for the contact center, though, it might go something like this. Ask anyone, this is the experience that comes to mind when you hear a call center.
Thank you for calling. Here is your main menu. For technical support, press 1. To speak to a technical support professional, press 2. If you're having trouble with your software, press 1. For all other problems, press... I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that. Your call is important to us. Stay on the... Thank you for calling. Here is your main menu.
Ask a call center manager how they work, and you'll probably hear this.
Hi, I need help with my...
Server interface?
Ah, yes.
Of course. Okay. Solved. And for your inconvenience, we'll credit your account for 2 months. We're going to detail your car, and we're going to send a foot masseuse to your home.
Ooh.
Okay, so the truth is probably somewhere in between. Much like purchasing experiences, the world of customer engagement is changing. The probability that a customer will stick around through a bad experience is quickly diminishing. Customers are even dropping an average of 4+ brands per year over bad experiences, causing businesses to rethink the way they work. To oversimplify, we are moving from...
I'm sorry.
To...
Ooh.
We call this transition from Contact Center 1.0 to Contact Center 2.0. To better understand this evolution, RingCentral VP of Contact Center Product Marketing, John Finch, spoke with a leading thinker in the Contact Center space, Altimeter Analyst Brian Solis. This is Brian.
I have this joke that I say that I can't wait to call customer service, said no customer ever. And it's this understanding of on two sides. You have on one side, you know, contact centers, let's just say basic models for contact centers, could trace its roots back to the 1950s and 1960s. And a lot has happened in those generations where you've scaled those models with new tech. But what hasn't really changed are some of the metrics that we use, some of the standards that we use for engagement. And I think that's part of the challenge is that as technology is allowing for innovation on both sides, so on the business side and also on the customer side, one side is changing from a human level, right? So on the customer side, you have empowerment, connectedness, you have this real-time, impatient sort of demeanor. I call today's customers accidental narcissists because basically everything on their phone or their apps or their services or their social networks are designed to cater to them now. And The more they taste that, the more that's the standard for engagement. But on the other side, you have technology to scale a sort of this lovingly, I say it, inhumanity of things where, you know, how quickly can we get you off the phone? Then we have the nerve to say, you know, would you refer us, rank our service in this moment? And you know, I think we're measuring the wrong things because we're not figuring out what it is that people want and why. The more advanced companies on the six stages of digital transformation are trying to answer the questions that you just asked, which is, what do people want? Why do they want that? Who is setting the standards for excellence and then going and chasing that rather than, say, looking at past reports and trying to improve on those past reports? Or, you know, the biggest trap of them all is looking at these technologies as cost centers and not necessarily as investments in competitive advantages and future revenue or value add or value propositions. It's really about mindset. I think one of the biggest takeaways I got with this report that we worked on together was that this is a huge opportunity for companies that just want to break free of the shackles of legacy business. I mean, I think one of the stats that stood out was 62% of companies currently use on-premise call center solutions. And it's not like the cloud has been around for, you know, 60 days or 90 days. This is something that's playing out, but the iPhone's 10 years old, going on 11 years old here. This is not brand new stuff. The customer's been evolving. They've got a massive head start. And I think this is an opportunity to close that gap and really deliver value.
So for all the talk of modern workers, the key is to factor in the changing customer. People like you and I demand and expect instant answers and immediate results, and that's because there's a vast online world ready to provide them. And there's a lot of competition in whatever industry you're in, and people are going to make choices on the quality of their product. On top of that is the quality of the service and the customer. John asked Brian Solis how an organization prioritizes some of these elements in their thinking.
The irony of all of this new technology, especially as we get into AI and machine learning, which is here already, is this more human approach to customer engagement, right? I don't think we've ever had access to really seeing and understanding what people want, how they make decisions, what they value. And it's all there. It's there for the taking. I think the one thing that I've learned is in all of my research, in all of the books that I've written, the one thing that's consistent is what I call Generation C, where the C stands for connected. And it was this rapidly emerging group of customers who were bound by common behaviors, interests, decision making, et cetera, not bound by age or income or geography. It was this bigger psychographic that revealed to me tremendous insights and opportunities to reinvent businesses. And I think that's why you see Uber used as the standard for so many things, because they invented a business to cater to Generation C. This is why you have so much disruption in the world today, is because companies are creating services for Generation C, because it's a different customer. Instead of trying to adapt legacy models and value propositions and policies and standards to these new opportunities, they're creating them from scratch. And I see this as, for example, the collaborative contact center doesn't have to be an overnight investment in any enterprise. I see it as being a pilot program to test market against Generation C. For example, we know that you can have AI in Facebook Messenger. We know that you can shop with a swipe. We know that you can ask Alexa a question and get what you need. So the customer's learning every single day how to communicate differently. They're already looking for legacy companies that they work with to offer that. So why not start experimenting and at least meeting their needs and then learning how to deliver beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, the report comes out with a number of different statistics, right? I mean, 55% of companies have already integrated messaging into their contact centers, for example, and the ability now to solve problems more quickly sort of is realized just in the fundamental way that technologies today for the enterprise work. And then even as these companies are moving away from these 1.0 challenges to this sort of 2.0 wish list that you describe, and improving customer experiences, reducing costs, improving customer satisfaction ratings, and integrating new technologies like collaboration, for example, amongst experts and agents, and even agent-to-agent collaboration, and then overall improving that agent performance. I mean, if you look at that and think about that, you know, what will the customer experience look like in 3 to 5 years to you?
I think the answer to that question is more of what Generation C is already doing today. I often use this example as a way to answer this question. Last night, I had gas delivered to my vehicle, and I wasn't even there. And it's an app called Filled, and it's basically the Uber of gasoline. I just tell it where my car is, schedule a window, and a truck comes by and fills my car with gas. I pay $2.99 as a service fee. The per gallon rate is very competitive. And that is my standard for engagement now. There's no reason for me to want to go to a gas station. It's not lazy. It's just that the gas station experience is something that I've compromised myself and my experiences over the years simply because there wasn't an alternative. Now there's an alternative, and I don't go backwards. Just like if you use an Uber, you probably don't start using taxis regularly again unless you have to.
Right.
And so that I use as sort of the premise to the answer to your question, which is it's more of that, right? Every day there's going to be an Uber of something. And the more we start to lean into this massive convenience, this real-time engagement, this real-time service, the more that we can interact with Alexa, the more that we can interact with intelligent conversational commerce, that's it, right? And today, customers are willing to tolerate legacy experiences because there really isn't that choice. But I'll give you an example. There was a startup in Los Angeles called At Service. And it was essentially the Uber of customer service. It would contact customer service companies for you because it knows you wouldn't want to do that so that it could free up your time. And so it's that, right? The thing is between now and 3 to 5 years from now is that people are going to have choices. And that's the point. There's a sense of urgency here.
Improving customer experiences and customer satisfaction ratings, all while reducing costs. Integrating new technologies like collaboration at the contact center, a more human approach to customer engagement. These are the innovations that are leading the transition today. This is the core of the evolution from the old model to the new. This is a better world for customers and employees.
Connection is an original podcast from RingCentral and is available through iTunes or the podcast channel of your choice.